Welcome to Wolf Dan's Saturday Set, where we are up and about after an excellent weekend last weekend. AI was great. The Saturday Set tips were great. So good, in fact, we gave the King's owner a week off. And because of that, we have to have next man up content here at Wolf Den and Saturday Set. We've got Smalley in today. Smalley, one of the best blokes on the den, one of the best judges on the den. You've come in big shoes to fill, mate.
Huge shoes to fill. Probably the biggest job in racing to try and jump into the King's seat, especially after the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He's been on fire.
Yeah, no. So we will hear from the King's Own later on. But we're going to talk to you a little bit about your background in racing, which is really interesting. And you've got some tips for us. Everyone on the den loves your tips. So looking forward to that. Fizzer, welcome in, mate.
How are you?
Yeah. Everything good?
Everything's good.
Enjoyed the Masters last week?
Loved the Masters. Found the winner finally. Good old fashioned.
He's too good, isn't he? Scotty Scheffler.
He's just too good at the moment, yeah.
All right, let's get into it. So we always start with our feature racing. Let's go to Randwick. We finish off the Sydney Autumn Carnival there. So we've got two Group 1s, and we're going to look at those two Group 1s as feature races. Let's start with a Randwick Race 7, the Champagne Stakes. What did you make of that, Smalley?
Not too much, unfortunately. I didn't find too much edge in the market. I had Manal the top raider. I thought maybe a node up to a mile and back on a good track could improve, but... Manal top pick, but no edge at that price, unfortunately.
Okay. What about you, Fizzer?
I'm the same, mate. I had Manal well clear just off the ratings. Linebacker's got to sort of step up in class and do it at the top end. Manal probably just sort of gets over the top of him, but like Chris, the $2.30 doesn't fill me with any sort of, there's nothing exciting in those odds.
Basically. Okay, so what is interesting about that race is we are doing a vlog on Linebacker. So we've been invited by Race Connects. Race Connects is a community for 18 to 35 year old people to attend Racing New South Wales meetings and other events outside of that. Now, obviously, I'm a fair way older than 35, but I'm going to be out there with a few younger people from the den and we're going to make some content about it. We've been lucky enough to be able to follow Linebacker in his pursuit of trying to win the Champagne Stakes on Saturday. We're out there on Tuesday morning shooting some footage, him doing his last piece of fast work, and then we're also going to be out there on Saturday watching Linebacker try and win the Group 1, and also we'll be going to the party that Race Connects are putting on, and you can see it up on the screen here. It's got to be the best value in racing for $40. You get your first couple of drinks free. You also get food when you're out there. There's a DJ playing in the marquee as well. Then Hot Tub Time Machine's playing after last for everybody at Randwick. But for $40, if you live in Sydney, you're between 18 and 35 and you haven't booked a ticket, what are you doing? You can't afford not to go. So book a ticket. There'll be a few of the boys from the den out there as well. I'll be there in a content-making capacity because I am a little bit older than 35, but they've given me a dispensation to make content. So we're really excited for that. If you can get out there and come and say g'day to us. All right, moving on to the big race of the day there, the all-age stakes. Espiona, she's been pretty unlucky lately. Everyone thinks she was certainly beaten in the TJ Smith. Is Saturday her day in the all-age stakes?
I think she is a good chance, but she's not one of mine, sadly. She gets back in the pack, runs on. She often finds bad luck. Obviously a good chance. $4 seems a bit short. Looks a good race. I quite like the race. It's going to be a different race to the TJ. It was sort of a bit of a sit and sprint. This time I think Buffalo River is really going to run them along. Might bring a bit of pride of Jenny to this race. But I've actually found a horse at 60 to 1.
Ooh.
Bandersnatch.
Yeah.
Like comes that. Through the Another Wheel Doncaster Prelude. Yeah. Was caught wide, stuck on well. Actually ran fourth in the All Age last year. And at the price, I think it's a good bet.
Okay. Unreal. Fizzer?
Mate, I'm not betting in this race, but I thought Southport Tycoon brings the different form lines, the V8 and Riff Rocket form lines, compared to all those horses out of the TJ Smith. Espiona, yes, top pick on my ratings, but like Chris said, $4 for a horse that gets back to last and runs into rump stake every time it runs around. Going to be hard to beat if it gets clear air. But I'm more than happy to sort of just have a look at this race and let them sort of go around without me, I think.
It's a great race, isn't it? Really competitive to finish off the carnival.
Yeah.
Let's go and have a look at Mornington. It's a great card at Mornington, and probably the most interesting aspect of Mornington on Saturday is the Mornington Cup, where it is a win and you're in race for the Caulfield Cup. So the Mornington Cup's 2,400 metres. Whoever wins this gets straight into the Caulfield Cup. What did you make of the race, Smalley?
Yeah, I actually thought it was an interesting race. Got a lot of these coming from a lead up at Caulfield, Group 3. I think it was the Easter Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Similar sort of leaders, looks good pace. The horse I've actually set it on is a New South Wales horse, Little Mix.
Mm-hmm.
Was caught wide in the Neville Selwood, over 2,000, held on well for third.
Mm-hmm.
Drawn wide here, if it had drawn a softer barrier, I'd be very, very confident, but still think it's a good bet around the $8.50 mark, so a little mix for me.
Okay, beautiful. Fizzer?
Yeah, cool. I found this race very hard. I'm not huge on the staying races, but a roughie I found was race 8, number 12, which is called United Nations. It ran around in Sydney last start, so it goes down to there to have a crack. May need one more run, but the 2400 looks more suitable than the 2000. Strawberry Rock was my other one, number 10. He was held up last start and came home well in maybe the race Chris was talking about, the one they all came out of. The one that I thought was very under the odds was race 8, number 4, First Immortal. It's like favourite, 460. I thought it had every hope last start and I was unsure how it came up that short.
Fair enough. Let's move to the other feature race in Mornington. Mornington Race 9, the Hariba Stakes, 1,200 metres for the sprinters. They'll go fast in this one.
Yeah, looks good. Good early speed. Found this race pretty tricky, to be honest. Settled on Mahaba as my top pick. And I thought the best roughie in the race was Savannah Cloud, but thought it was a really tricky race. We've got the favourite Grand Impact is second up, resumed off a long break. Will probably improve, but then also it's going to map probably forward with a bit of pressure. So I found this race really tricky, but Mahaba on top from me.
Fizzer?
If I recall, I think Mornington's pretty leaderish. I don't know how it goes on these bigger days, but I recall that most of the horses are already on speed, most of these in the Mornington races. So, look, I have found Grand Impact. Wasn't bad first up at Moonee Valley. Maybe needs a little bit more give in the ground. I've got it top pick over Mahaba, and they're the two horses I've settled on to have something small in the race.
Very good. The other big meeting on Saturday is over at Ascot. We've got the Quokka, their slot race over there. It always comes up as a really nice race, 1,200-metre race worth $5 million. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I thought this was a great little race, actually. Yeah. Enjoyed doing it. The interesting thing was we've got Overpass, who's a natural leader. They've actually taken a stablemate over there, Malkovich, who looks like it's also going to sort of duel for the lead. So I thought that was an interesting play by the stable. I have found Amelia's Jewel on top. Not sure that the 340, 350 at the moment is great value. She's going to get back. Her run first up was great. She charged home. But she's just going to be back in a big field. Probably the best roughie in the race is a New Zealand horse I found, Waituck. It actually, we've seen it in over the Brisbane Carnival. Actually, they tried to run it in a derby, but it since looks like they're sort of looking for around that 1,200, 1,400 metre mark for it. Won a group one in New Zealand two starts ago. Was caught wide in a 1,400 metre group one there in New Zealand. So it's around 40 or 50 to 1. I thought it was a good roughie in that race.
Fizz.
Yeah, really good race. The form lines are sort of like all around the same Sydney sort of form. You got Overpass going back there to try and repeat the dose. It wins every time it goes over there. Really Overpass. I'm like small. I'm a bit confused about taking the stablemate over there to take it on in front. Overpass is an out and out leader. But look, I'm settled on the horses on speed more than the ones getting back in this race. Even though there is good speed, I thought Overpass could get the perfect run. If it wants to take a sit and if that's the setup they're going with, it should sit right behind its stablemate or one out, one back. I thought Oscar's Fortune with Pike, it got a perfect run last start, 1,200 a query, but it'll get a perfect run again. And then I just thought Amelia's Jewel's going to have to run over the top of Group 1 winners, and it's not easy to do, and she's going to come from near last. So for me, it's a hard race but a really good race.
Okay, I might stay with you, mate, and get your Saturday set off you, please.
No worries. So I've got two very strong bets. I thought Ascot Race 5, number 2, Generosity, was close to my best bet of the day. It's trialled enormous. You can go and have a look at the trial for yourself and see what you think. Sets up in a race where it's racing against much inferior opposition to what it did last time in. So for me, strong bet. We're going to Randwick Race 5, number 7. I think there's a few of us tipping this one. Front page. Just looks to go straight to the front, dictate in front, kick away. Likes a soft track. It looks like we had a little bit of rain this morning. I think it'll just dictate and win. Then I've got a couple in Adelaide, a couple a little bit more out wide. Race 7, number 7, Sir Kingsford. Stepped up to 1550, was really good first up, couldn't keep up and then sort of hit the line really strong. Pretty keen on it. And then I've got a three-day backup horse, race 2, number 11, Chosen Miss, run yesterday and won by a good margin. I think being fit, a lot of people will probably come for this horse on race day, and think it'll give us a good run around the $6 mark as well.
Very good. It's time to bring the King Zone in. Here he is, the King Zone. Mate, yeah. You had such a good week last week that you rewarded yourself with a little trip away, hey?
I did, back-to-back wins, and I've come up for a little midweek freshen up, but I'll be back on deck Saturday and ready to rip right into these bookies fresh and ready to go.
King Zone, what have you got for us, mate?
But I've got three for you. Got Manal in the Champagne, which we're on last time. Had a great result on Manal, about $6. Around the, shorter today, but around the $2.30 mark. 1600 will really suit, I think, at Randwick. Class horse. We saw the run in the slipper. We saw the win last time in the size, and I expect more from this classy two-year-old. The next one we're going to is in the all-aged. One of my favourite horses who's had no luck this preparation, Espiona, who should have won the TJ. I was on it about $17 in the TJ and should have won. Absolutely airborne. I think 1400 will suit, and Saturday is her Group 1 day. The other one is another favourite. Three favourites I'm going for this time is over in the Karaka Plate, over in WA, a horse called Bustling. Barrier 1, B-Shin, going to get the run of the race. 1200. Just looks too good on facts and figures.
Outstanding, King Zone. So you're pretty confident?
Very confident. Yeah, I haven't done a huge amount of work because I've been just having a little freshen up. But by the time I hit the deck on Saturday, I will be raring to go. I've just looked at the big race at the moment. But those three all look very, very strong bets to me.
And what time do you have your first cocktail or your first drink today?
Well, about midday over lunch, I think I'll have a few. I haven't been going silly. Good, been behaving good. Myself.
Hey, mate, thanks for making time for us, and we'll see you back in the den on Saturday.
Thanks, boys.
All right, mate, this is your big debut, first time delivering a Saturday set. Are you ready?
Ready as I'll ever be.
Let's do it.
All right, so my first one is Randwick Race 4, Gold Bullion. Was caught wide from a wide barrier last start, drawn soft on Saturday. Should be able to lead up to 2,000, and it's around the $11 mark, which I think is great odds. All right, my next one is actually quite a lot of people tipping this, Randwick Race 5, Front Page. He led over 1,100 in the Galaxy. There was a lot of pressure there. He looks to find a pretty gentle tempo in front and has some older sprinters chasing, so he looks a good bet. Randwick Race 8, Bandersnatch at huge odds, about 60 to 1. He was caught three wide in the Doncaster Prelude, held on well, and ran fourth in the All Age last year. And my last one is Mornington Race 8, Little Mix, was caught wide over 2,000 at Rose Hill. Finds a good staying race over 2,400 down south and can be competitive.
Unreal, mate. And so, yeah, quite a few at some tasty prices there.
Yeah,
that's why you are loved on the den, because you can find a few at a big price. This episode is brought to you by our good friends at Ladbrokes. Join Ladbrokes today and support the show by using the code GALLOP. Take on the fun this autumn carnival with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including Bet Ticker, so you can see where the big bets land, Yard Comments to give you the on-course insights straight from the parade ring, and Black Book so you can add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. So take on the fun and Ladbroker during the autumn.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.
Very good. All right, it's time to call out the A-set tips, and I will do that now. So starting with Dream Team, Eagle Farm, Race 9, number 5, Press Link. Unbeaten at both starts in this time, and additional 200 metres looks perfect. Dream Team's always short and sharp. Dan O, Randwick Race 5, number 7, Front Page. More support for Front Page. It's going to definitely be a probably 2 or 3 unit bet in RI staking playing. His last start rating from a terrific run in Group 1 Galaxy is better than any of his opposition has produced in their form over the past 6 months, and he looks to get easy and control on the race in front. The potential for a soft track is no problem, a strong bet. Chris Camilleri, Randwick Race 4, number 1, Tannhauser. Savage to the line late at Group 1 level last start after settling a long way off the speed. At peak fitness now, and can settle closer to the pace from the soft draw than the colt did last week. Right, so that's the A set out of the way, and we've got to keep rolling. Here is RI's staking plan. RI's staking plan has been on fire, as you will see in a little bit when we bring out the return on investment screen. So there it is. If you want to follow RI, that's what I am doing this weekend. Let's move to our quaddy. We put a quaddy together each week for Ladbrokes. We haven't quite got it last 2 weeks, but like all other punters out there, we keep missing by one leg. All right, now it is time for accountability. And here we go. This is exciting. So the King Zone nicely in profit, up $299. Then we move to the Fizzer.
I fought back.
You're nearly there, mate.
I fought back. Minus $19.
That's great.
And so, a bit stiff last week. There was one that could have lobbed at $7 that would have got me in the green.
Yeah.
Although everyone looks like they're in the red there.
Well, yeah, this is true. Probably a poor choice of colours. The A-team always doing well. They're flying along as usual. But here it is, RI staking plan up 13 units. Gee, that feels good. Feels good, but I've got to keep on going on with it. No time to rest.
How do you do
hopefully...
it, RI? How do you do it?
So we've got to keep rolling with that. So moving on from all that stuff, Smalley, I thought I'd just have a little bit of a chat with you about your background in racing. I've known you for a really long time. Your parents ran a computer business out of the races, so you had no choice but to get involved in racing from a very, very young age. What's quite interesting about your career in racing is that you did quite a lot of work with the syndicates over the years, two big syndicates in Australia. You've worked for both of them. Can you tell us a bit about them? I know everyone out there finds the whole idea of the syndicates incredibly interesting. You know, people kind of look at the level that we bet with and the sophistication and think it's pretty interesting and exciting, but we're like 100 times smaller than some of the people that you've worked for. What was your role at those places when you worked there?
Yeah, so I was very fortunate and lucky, probably after meeting you boys on course. One of my first jobs in my early 20s was for one of the biggest syndicates in the world, and they're very interesting places, everyone and finds them. There's lots of different sort of departments and everyone's got their own sort of little role, whether it's a video watching role or a mapping role or form role, and sort of all those little bits come together. I suppose it's a like a big pie.
Yeah.
5% here, 5% there, 10% there, sort of all comes together, and I assume it spits out either a price or a grand total number, and all these syndicates sort of bet off that, and that's how they are so successful. They seem, I can remember in my early 20s, they were using terms which are quite mainstream media now,
yeah.
But they sort of seem ahead of the game or one step forward of everyone. So a very interesting place to work. I met lots of smart people there, very, very smart people. They obviously helped me with how I do my form still today. It was a very interesting place to work and very enjoyable.
Like Australian racing is actually a very small part of what they do, correct?
It seems so. Like they're happy to bet all over the world, wherever there's a market that I guess is big enough for them to
bet. And generally speaking, they bet into tote markets more than fixed odds, right? It'd be hard for them to get set on fixed odds, yeah. Yeah, and how has it helped your own punting?
I was probably lucky. As I said, I started working with them in my early 20s. I had a little bet here and there, so I hadn't really had any, no one had really told me how to do the form, or I'd never really come up with my own ideas of that. So this was probably basically I got trained by some of the leading form analysts of what to look for and how to do it. Like I was sort of, very young and just took it all on board and, it really helped me with mapping and how to watch videos and how to watch barrier trials and things like that and put it all together. So.
And in terms of the form that you did for us today, for your tips, can you give us a very basic idea of what you do to try and put together and maybe things that people can copy you and pick up from you?
Yeah, for sure. So primarily I just focus on betting in New South Wales.
Yeah.
A lot of my form's very manual. I don't have any models that spit out ratings or anything like that. I do a lot of my ratings I do manually myself. The first thing I do, I piece together the map, so that sort of gives me an idea of how a race is going to get run. And then I look on that map for horses that are going to be advantaged or disadvantaged, and then compare that to previous starts and previous runs that they've had, and then obviously look at the market and see if my thoughts on how the race is going to be run is what the market thinks, or if I've got any differences and if there's any value in those.
You price them up too, don't you, Small?
Yeah, I price all the races because I only focus on a small area. It's a bit easier, whereas obviously you boys bet all over Australia. It's pretty hard to put a price next to every single runner.
And how do you find your prices go? They help us?
Yeah, I use the market that's available. That's my starting point. Just because I think if you price off without looking at a market, you can come up with some wildly different prices.
That's probably
just
a great
wrong.
Little pearl for people out there is that you always start, the very first thing you do to price a market is see
available.
What the actual market is and then manipulate it from there.
Yeah, because like we look at the markets, they're pretty accurate these days. There's only some horses that are, their prices are probably just wrong, either too short or too long. There's no, we don't see any horses that should be even money that $10 is available. It just doesn't really happen anymore, does
it?
Like,
used to.
The markets are pretty clever, and anything wrong gets worked out pretty quickly these days.
Yeah, unreal, mate. All right, well, thank you very much for coming in. It's been
outstanding. Yeah, thanks for having me, boys.
So I think we're pretty close to wrapping up. As usual, go buy our merch, best merch in the game, wolfdenstore.win. We're going to do a Saturday session. I know they said the Saturday sessions are over, but the Saturday session this week is going to be on the Golden Easter Egg down at Wentworth Park. The dogs will be a lot of fun. Jason Campbell's going to come in. The King's Zone will be in here. We'll probably make you stay later, Fizzer. You might even be in here. Who knows? But we're going to put a Saturday session together on the Greyhounds. We do love the Hounds. It's one of the biggest nights of the year, so we're going to have a bit of fun with that. AI will be free for all members on Saturday. You can see up on the screen there now, that's the AI screen for the All Age Stakes. And down the bottom there it says AI is free. So it really pays to be a member of AI. And we're working on memberships actually at the moment for AI. We're going to make them even more accessible and easy for people. So we put a bit of work into that. Looking forward to bringing that in weeks to come. And just to finish off, so one of the favourite horses of the den, Imperatrice, when we finished the Saturday session last Thursday, news broke that she was retiring. I was a bit shocked by it, but I understand it. It brought back a lot of fun memories. We had a lot of fun with her. Obviously, we had some great results on her, so that's probably why we look back on her so fondly. But as a little tribute to her to finish off the Saturday session, I went and clipped up this little piece from a vlog that we did with Ben Gleeson at the start of the autumn. We went down and chatted with him and watched Imperatrice do some work. And this is him talking about arguably Imperatrice's two best races in Australia, the McEwen and also the Champion Sprint last spring. So enjoy this as a tribute to her. She was a fantastic horse. We loved her in the den. We love the great game, and we appreciate your support. And we're going to see you next week. Thank you very much.
And were you blown away by the spring that she had? Because obviously you got the job here. You would have thought, okay, they've got some good horses, but you probably couldn't have anticipated how good she gave a spring, or did you think that that might happen?
No, there's no way I could have sort of envisaged that. I don't think any of us could have.
Yeah.
End of the day, she'd obviously been a champion in New Zealand, but
yeah,
when you come over here and you take a gig kick and some of those top sprinters in secret, I think we would have been happy if she won a Group 2 and a Group 1 or a couple of Group 1s or probably just a Group 1.
Yeah.
But for her to get to sort of third up and be unbeaten and sort of spruik the way she was. She just went to another level. And whether that's the change of environment and tracks and everything just falling away, and Mark says that things go wrong in an instant with horses. They can get a stone bruise or something go wrong, but nothing went wrong with the whole prep. And touch wood, it happens. It goes the same way this time around. But that goes a long way to a horse having a successful spring or autumn. But it was hard to believe it. It went as smooth as it did, so hopefully that can continue.
Yeah, and in the McEwen, you were there on the day, I presume?
Yeah, they had a big day back at home in New Zealand, so Mark couldn't get across, or David, so it was a bit of a lone soldier, but I was hoping at the end of the day I'd be ringing Mark and saying, oh, she ran a good second, and finished off well, but I stood with some mates who worked with me at Danny's, and she went past them, and I just, like, she's...
It was just amazing, wasn't it? Because it looked like she was off the bit and Kiki was just going to kick. And then it was a turn of foot that you so rarely see.
Yeah.
Like, she really announced herself, didn't she? The whole industry was just like, fuck, look at this thing.
Yeah.
And in the Champion Sprint, like, that's when she probably got pushed the hardest. Could you tell after that race that she really had to dig deep to win that day?
It's actually probably one of the best she's pulled up all spring, amazingly. Everything had gone so faultless, like, even leading up to that, she hadn't shown us any signs of training off, or physios and chiros are happy with her body, so it's just a matter of knowing whether she handled it straight. But the next day after that, she cleaned up her feed, she trod up well, and I've said to many people, she didn't dapple up all spring. Like, she had a good coat, but she didn't have dapples all over it. And then it wasn't until probably the next day, before she went out, she had dapples all over her. She looks better than she has all prep, so... She went and had the 2 weeks in the paddock, and then when she came back, she was just covered in dapples. So
right.